I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Welcome to Fit and Proper. I'm Rhys James.
And I'm Lloyd Griffith.
Each week, we delve into the murky world of football club ownership. We're giving control to our famous guests to run their beloved club in their own way.
They can do whatever they like, from changing the manager to moving the stadium close to their house, sacking the mascot to insisting all their players have blue dreadlocks.
But their decisions will be scrutinised heavily, just like a real owner. Firstly, by Lloyd and I, and then our supercomputer, which will analyse the data and decide if they are a fit and proper person to run a football club.
Hello, Rhys.
Hello, Lloyd. How's it going?
Yeah, good, thank you. Yeah, not too bad at all, thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, are you okay?
I'm all right. We've got a great guest today.
Friend of ours.
Ivo Graham.
Very, very good lad. Sports Swindon. Very good footballer.
My place of birth. Good footballer.
Were you born in Swindon?
I was born in Swindon town.
Why were you born in Swindon?
Where?
Why?
Why?
Yeah.
I don't know how to answer that.
Well,
that's where my parents lived at the time.
Okay, no, that makes... Yeah, that's fair enough.
Better to not travel too far to give birth.
Yeah.
I was born in the RAF hospital, which no longer exists.
Were your parents
headlined
in the RAF?
Unfollowable. No, they weren't. That was just the local hospital, I think.
Okay.
It's a fact I mention every time I go back to Swindon on tour, and then every detail of it gets corrected by the audience.
Are you going on tour to Swindon?
I actually haven't put Swindon in this year.
I have.
I previously had the Art Centre in. It was a good show last time. And I was sort of like, maybe. They've got in touch to say, do you want a Swindon one? Because the tour's gone on sale and they've gone, do you not want to do Swindon?
Yeah.
It's just a gig to my mum's friends. If you're listening, are lovely. And please come along to the next one when we inevitably put it in.
I've put Swindon in again. It's one of the only few, and I don't want to sound arrogant here, one of the only few venues that doesn't sell out. And I will go back until I sell it out and then I'll never do it again.
Yeah, I reckon I was about 10 tickets off that and it was
frustrating. Oh, I was way off 10. I was like, we're talking, it's half full.
Really?
I mean... I think the last time, there was something to do with the pandemic. The time before that, I did it on Valentine's Day. The time before that,
it's a romantic place, Swindon.
No profile whatsoever and barely risen. Anyway, so...
Well, someone who definitely does sell out the Swindon Arts Centre is Ivo Graham.
And I'm interested to see what he says.
I put definitely in brackets there because I'm not sure. And it is tough out there on the road.
Yeah.
What we're saying is tickets are available to our respective tours.
And if Ivo's on tour as well.
And Ivo's tour. Get him on all of our websites.
Should we have a little go on the episode?
Yes, please.
Today's guest is friend of ours. I'd say very good friend of ours. Are you happy with that?
Yeah. I don't know if he will be.
I am.
Obviously. Oh, there we go. He is. Lloyd, he is.
A comedian you'll have recognised from a plethora of shows, including Have I Got News For You, Mock the Week, Live at the Apollo...
Celebability.
Thank backstage you. With Catherine Ryan.
Yes.
The Last Leg.
Yeah, I mean this is great stuff.
British funniest moments.
British people. As folk.
Yes, the football's on BT Sport.
The football's on BT Sport.
Yeah. Some of the best Zoom-based sports content you're likely to see in or out of a pandemic.
That is 100% accurate. We've done it together. Have you two done Football's On together?
No.
No, not together.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Ivo Graham.
Hello, Lloyd. Hello, Rhys.
It did. Thanks Lloyd said me. That as if something was going to happen then.
Yeah, but I did because I didn't really know because we'd started speaking. I wanted to get you in as soon as possible.
You got me thinking about the Football's On again, to be honest. What a show. What a fantastic show.
Football's On.
The show that started in lockdown and then they just kept making it the same way after lockdown because, to quote one of the producers, it's just so cheap.
It's cheaper, much cheaper if we just go to your house and put a backdrop up.
We don't have to do hair and makeup. No. We don't have to worry about mics, a mic technician. A cameraman.
There is a mic technician, actually.
Oh, really?
Mark, he's coming to my tour show in Teddington. I think our friendship has really developed.
Yeah, I love Mark.
He's so nice.
Mark's a good lad.
But he puts a lot of pressure on you to have new and different football shirts to hang up every week.
Yes, I'm running on fumes now.
Yeah. Not a fan of the four flights of stairs at my house.
Of course.
Carrying all that equipment up
he
and
has
down.
He has big issues with the parking backdrop. At mine, actually. That comes up a lot. The parking situation is diabolical near me. But you are a football fan.
I am not a football just a fan, actually. No, I feel although I haven't been to Grimsby to watch football, despite your kind invitation so to do a few weeks ago, Lloyd.
Yeah, it was, yeah. You were in Manchester, weren't you?
I was in Manchester.
Timings were against us.
Timings and parenting responsibilities. But I'm looking ahead to the second half of the season as I plan the spring leg of my stand-up tour. And I'm hoping to take in the Stockton Arc on the same day Swindon were at Hartlepool. And hopefully the Chorley Little Theatre the same day that Swindon are away at Rochdale.
Has pre-planning gone into that?
Yeah, I've
so you've arranged the dates around the away fixtures of Swindon to some extent.
I mean, arranged is an optimistic use of the past tense. No one else, apart from the three people in this room, know about that plan. Okay. I've not been in touch with the venues or my agent about that, but I just I've become very intent on doing it.
So you're a Swindon Town fan?
I'm a Swindon Town fan. And of course I love going to that County Ground, the home of football.
And why are you a Swindon Town fan, Ivo?
Because I grew up in Wiltshire, about 15 minutes away from the ground, and I supported Manchester United in the late 90s. It was obviously a lovely time to be supporting Manchester United. But my father said, support your local team. They actually need you. And I was very moved by his words. And I don't think my dad had anticipated me being so moved by his words that I'd then be asking him to take me to see Swindon Town every couple of weeks. He's not really taken to it at all. But now I'm an adult with my own financial means.
Who was the first game that you went to, Swindon game that you went to, Ivo? Can you remember?
I think I saw Swindon playing Ipswich in 1999 or 2000, when they were both in what's now the Championship.
Yeah.
I believe Kieran Dyer was playing. It's pretty exciting. But Swindon, my first proper year of supporting them, were relegated from the second tier. The whole quest of my life since has been, will they get back to the second tier? And now we're so entrenched in the fourth tier that I'd probably happily settle for a long run in the third.
Well, you playoffs last season, and you
well, that's
know.
True. Of course, and actually, we were in the third tier 2 years ago. Yeah. But it does feel a little bit like we're sort of now just accepting it as our rightful.
I feel bad because I was born in Swindon and spent 4 years of my life there. Yeah, we have discussed it before, and I don't support Swindon. And really, I should.
Whereas I was born in Tokyo, but you don't see me at.
Well, fair enough. Then I think
I couldn't tell you. I couldn't tell you, and I didn't really want to improvise either.
Oh, 1 second.
Some breaking news just reaching us. Ivo Graham has just been confirmed as the new owner and chair of Old Etonians FC. We'll get more information as we get it, but just to confirm, Old Etonian Ivo Graham is now the owner of Old Etonians FC.
Wow, after all that chat about Swindon, I thought maybe you'd take over Swindon, but you've gone in a different direction there.
You've purchased Old Etonians.
The thing about Swindon is I don't want to ruin it. I know that part of the fun of being an armchair fan is existing in that sort of fantasy land. I don't want to be mouthing off about the way the clubs run or how I think I could do it better, because fundamentally, I don't really understand that side of things. I don't understand basic economics. It's why I found myself in the career that I'm in. I didn't really understand what was so bad about Lee Power. I mean, obviously, I did sort of sentimentally, but I couldn't. I quite literally was unable to sum up in a sentence, even with a heavy dose of allegedly, what his financial sort of misdealings were meant to be, beyond constantly wanting to use the word trousering as a verb. But he was a trouserer. Whereas Clem I don't think he's quite the knight in shining armour necessarily. I just think he's a slightly wooden Australian man with access to a lot of toilets. But he is balancing the books. We're doing all right this season. Another playoff push isn't outside the realms of possibility. Fan ownership of the County Ground is looking an increasing possibility, which has been something that the Swindon Town Trust has wanted for a long time. So fundamentally,
it was a no-go zone.
I'm not touching that. If I got to a position in my life where I was able to, to be part of that, possibly even fluke a Hollywood script commission and reinvest that immediately into Swindon Town, I'd love to be a part of it, but in a purely sort of minor role. Whereas I would say that a team who I am undeniably also very biographically attached to, whose future I don't feel so emotionally invested in and so more comfortable jeopardizing, but who I also think could really be roused to great heights, which would genuinely be for the benefit not just of my own nostalgia, but of the country at large. It's two-time FA Cup winners, the Old Etonians.
Yeah.
It's been a very, almost, I would say, criminally quiet 140 years for the Old Etonians since their last FA Cup win in 1882. And I'm, you know, I don't spend a lot of my career or indeed life hugely proud to be an Old Etonian. I spend most of my time on stage apologizing for it. And I think in the current climate, there's lots of reasons to apologize for it. But I've never been able to get away from the fact that my school won the FA Cup twice.
So that's the real privilege of it, isn't it? Everyone thinks, oh, they get the best education and all that sort of stuff. And you end up being the government, yada, yada, or you get a big job in the city. If you can say that your school has won the FA Cup twice, that is privilege.
I think it would be hard, it would take a pretty miserable sort of young Etonian politics fan to look at any of the recent Etonian politicians and think, yeah, that's how it's done. That's what I wanted to. Whereas there's something I think fundamentally more innocent and potentially more useful as a distraction about funneling a lot of the school's energies and finances into the Old Etonians football team.
Yeah. So is that how you purchased them? You funneled the school's finances into it?
Well, I'm not even sure that I have, to be honest.
Any trousering?
I don't think it is. I mean, obviously the
toilet sales.
You've got to fear it's a school full of trouserers. But again, I'm not really here to discuss that. Pinstriped trouserers, no less.
Was that the uniform? It had to be pinstriped.
You wore pinstriped trousers a tailcoat and a white shirt with a fake collar. But you're not wearing that on the pitch, obviously. You're wearing the famous Eton blue, which is actually green.
But is that how you arrive off the coach? You know, sometimes you see for Champions League games, Spurs, for example, sponsored by Hugo Boss, they wear the fully black suits when they get off the coach. Everyone's in the same. Would you have the players in the uniform off the coach, do you think?
I do think, actually, now that you've said that, that makes perfect sense.
And are they allowed the big headphones, or do you think that jars too much?
No, listen, if you want to lean into the stereotypes and just have them accompanied off the coach by a live sort of string quartet.
That's lovely. Lovely little quartet as they come off. So I think just for anyone that might not know about the history of Old Etonians, we should
myself
probably just
included.
Give them a little bit of backstory. So obviously Eton College is a school.
Yes, it's a private school for boys between age 13 and 18, based in Berkshire.
And essentially Eton College had a football team that was one of the founding members, or essentially invented football. Is that right? Or have I got that wrong?
I'm happy to go with it, Lloyd. Let me be the first to say the 1800s were a different time.
Finally, someone's saying it.
Yeah, you know, and so the FA Cup was typically won by teams like the Old Etonians or the Royal Engineers. It was before, you know, the emergence of professional football clubs. And actually, Eton lost the FA Cup final in 1883 to Blackburn. But no, not Blackburn Rovers, who won the next four. I want to say Blackburn begins with A.
No.
No, doesn't matter.
Oh.
What does it? Oh. Blackburn
stupid.
Orbs.
Blackburn Overs.
Blackburn Olympic.
Blackburn Olympic.
Ah. Makes more sense than Orbs, actually.
The Blackburn Orbs beat the Old Etonians. And this story is loosely chronicled in the Netflix drama, The English Game.
A very English
game. Written by Downton Abbey's Julian Fellowes. It got one star in The Guardian and was reviewed as deeply patronising. but Fellowes is obviously, he's class obsessed.
Yeah.
You know, his brain has an upstairs and a downstairs.
Well, wait till he sees your team getting off the bus.
Love it.
Off the coach, please.
Sorry, it's not a bus, is it? It's not a bus.
It's a coach.
Yeah,
it's a stage coach.
It's a horse-drawn carriage.
It's a Hummer limo.
I think that Fellowes was obviously very seduced by the historical passing of the torch from the Old Etonians to Blackburn Olympic, and the various emotional sort of shenanigans between those two teams as they, because their paths crossed sort of quite a lot during that period. And I basically, I don't think necessarily that the Old Etonians are going to be, I mean, obviously I want them to win the FA Cup again.
Yeah.
That's the dream scenario. But I don't see themselves establishing themselves as a top flight presence, really. I just would like it to be a post-school career that boys at Eton could and would aspire to, because I think it would stop them getting into worse stuff, essentially. I think that Eton and this country, and indeed not just this country, but other parts of the world, like the US, which I think is where most of the funding is going to come from, mainly through the documentary that will inevitably be made about this, Wrexham style. Mm. There is a fascination with the school and those boys, which is why, you know, us chaps get away with so much. the sort of toxic national relationship with privilege. And actually, given that we have an equivalently toxic relationship with football, being able, rather than just absolutely, you know, despising the Etonians in government and the damage they do to the country, being able to semi-ironically get behind the old Etonians as a football yeah. team, I think would be something that would, I think it would have a net positive social effect.
I think yeah. there'd be a big away following, no matter who you supported. I think
huge, there'd be a huge, you know, away following. Yeah, so you're kind of the...
But sorry, a following villains. For the away fans. I think the away fans would get a big following.
That's
true. Lloyd's saying that everyone would be there going there to sort of boo.
Yeah, well, I think that's fine. And again, I think that serves a very important educational role for Eton, because,
absolutely.
You know, one of the things about Eton is I think you don't really, you know, you've lived such a cosseted life that you don't realise what a bubble of privilege you've lived in, often until you're a teenager, or often even until after you've left. Mm-hmm. Whereas I think if you are exercising your right as an Eton schoolboy to go and watch the old Etonians playing on a Saturday afternoon, and obviously everyone at the school gets tickets, but you also do see the absolute vile abuse that's thrown at them by the away end. People who don't even support whoever they're playing.
Pure entertainment.
It's just anti. It's just anti.
You don't get that in the... I mean, obviously, the Eton Harrow cricket match at Lord's, whose fate is actually under threat. It may have played its last game this year. That's currently being debated amongst the seniors at the Marylebone Cricket Club, I believe. But the Eton Harrow game at Lord's, I went to that once, and you know that would get a little bit spicy, but only in a very, you know. It was the Spider-Man meme of banter, really.
So also, you know, when they beat Blackburn Rovers in 1882, not 1982, that'd be mental. They played at the Oval.
They played at the Oval. Yeah,
yeah, there's always a cricket kind of link there, isn't there?
Rovers, or was it Blackburn?
No, that was where the FA Cup final was.
Blackburn Rovers, 1882.
The Blackburn Ovals.
The Blackburn Rovers beat Old Etonians at the Oval in 1882. Going to your, so anyone that plays for has to have been at Eton, I presume.
You've been at Eton, yeah. And I think I'm
going. You can be any age.
You can
have been at Eton years ago. You don't have to be actually coming through the ranks during your time at school.
No, but obviously, I imagine to be competitive, you're going to want to, you know, it's going to be typically people in their 20s. So I think what this is actually going to involve is a much more long-term plan to get people. You know, one of the criticisms often made of the Oxford-Cambridge boat race is that often a lot of the rowers are sort of, you know, beefcake Americans brought in to do postgrad just so that they can take part in the race. Mm. And while obviously it's still a fantastic historic spectacle, people, you know, who really want to cheer on their university... You've removed a little bit of the investment, because ultimately you're not cheering on people like you. You're cheering on imports, you know, essentially.
The Winklevoss,
you know, it's the Winklevi, exactly. You know, what you want is a Harry Kane. He's one of our own.
Yeah.
And
English people for English football is
saying. No, absolutely not. Eton is it's got a fantastically international mix of
posh people,
wealth, and that would be reflected. But I think what I would really like to see, I think I'd be able to take over the team with minimal trouble. I'd say with the right charm offensive and maybe a couple of comedy gigs at the school, which I've actually already been in touch with the headmaster about. I could probably take over the running of this team. without any financial investment at all.
Wow.
I mean, the Old Etonians Twitter account, it's got 500 followers. You know, it's they're not the force they were in the late 19th century. they're absolute mid-table water treaders in the Arthurian League, which isn't even on the pyramid.
The Arthurian League isn't on the pyramid, no.
Eton in general really didn't see Twitter coming. They really didn't plan for the social media boom, did they?
No, and they're not, you know, they're not updating. There's been no updates on the about this season.
And are they into Instagram Reels? You know, are they playing the algorithm?
Well, listen, I only did my first reel yesterday, Reese, as you
know. Well, exactly, Old Etonian. So,
can I just read out who's in the Arthurian League, if that's okay? Who are your other? King's College Wimbledon, Old Elanians, Old Bradfieldians, Old Carthusians.
The old Carthusians, now they're the real enemy.
Well, I was actually having a chat with Harry earlier. I've actually played for the Old Carthusians.
What?
Yeah, I know. So there was a spell of two
years.
You didn't
go to Charterhouse?
I didn't go to Charterhouse, yeah. And it went under the radar and I had to play as someone else called Monty. They needed a goalkeeper for 2 years, so I played for the Old Carthusians for 2 or 3 years.
That'll be very useful ammo when it comes to bringing down the Carthusians, who are, I'd say, the two main teams that are in trouble, I would say, as a result of this takeover of the Old Etonians, are the Old Carthusians and Slough Town. because the Old Carthusians, I'd say, the main rival sort of, you know, posh twat alumni team, and Slough Town are just the geographical toe treaders.
Other teams, Old Chigwellians.
Yep.
Old Foresters.
Yep.
Old Harrovians. Old Salopians and Old Tonbridgians.
And young boys, weirdly, just to throw a little curveball in there.
There's a... on the subject of young boys, there'll be no actual... It'd be tricky if someone at the school was good enough to make it into the team. I don't know whether you'd have to enforce the rule that they had to have finished their education and done their A-levels and become an Old Etonian.
There have been no international players from Eton since 1880.
There's that century again.
Yeah, they're very quiet. Very quiet.
So with the actual, let's get into the detail of it a little bit,
please.
Are you bringing in a manager, or are you going to just do all of it?
I think, to be honest, there's a teacher that was at the school when I was there, called Jeff Riley, who I think would be the first name on the managerial team sheet, as far as I'm concerned. He was head of economics. He also started his own tutoring business. He was very into football, and I actually bumped into him recently while watching Swindon away at Harrogate on Good Friday this year. And he's someone who just struck me as someone with a deep sort of Moneyball-esque understanding of the game. So I think he was a motivator. Boy spoke with great awe and respect of the privilege of being in his economics class at school, but also he would live and breathe this football team. So it's between the Eton College head of economics 2008, Jeff Riley, or Prince Harry. Those are the main two choices, I think. Harry is going to play in a pretty emblematic role, as far as I'm concerned. I think we
need the poster boy.
I think so. He's more of a rugby man, Prince Harry, as far as I'm aware. But I think he is, you know, globally the most beloved Old Etonian.
Did William not go?
William went as well, but yeah. Harry, I think, is the globally most beloved and the person with probably slightly more time on their hands, with no disrespect to Archwell and the podcast. But I think he needs to be spending at least 6 months of his time back in the country. And obviously his son Archie would be one of several players who I'm already sort of looking to represent the school in about 30
Lovely.
Years' time.
Appeals to the American market as well.
Would that be huge? So the main ones for me, it's Archwell, it's... Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain's son, Axel. I think he's about three, but I'd
this is the early scouting system, is it?
But isn't
I've basically looked at posh footballers with
double barrel names
with sons who are obviously like.
Does Dewsbury Hall have a kid yet?
Ideally, I mean the sort of longest term strategy is trying to get people like Dewsbury Hall just to have children to send them to the school.
So does everyone has to have a double barrel name? Is that
of course not.
No,
Leandro Loris, Hugo Loris's son. I'd love if he's got any of his father's sort of leadership qualities and goalkeeping skills. I'd love to see him between the sticks for the old Etonians.
But can I ask you a question?
In about 2040.
But doesn't, in order to be at Eton, don't you have to be like registered before you're even born?
No, that used to be the way. But now it's I wouldn't go so far as using the word democratic. But no, you work your way up through a sort of usually a feeder school.
Oh, right.
You are scholarship wise for the football team now. It's all changing. This football team's going to be back in the FA Cup.
Well, I suppose what the genuine intent behind this is that it would be a reason for people to want to send their children to Eton, and it would attract investment from sort of celebrities in the football world. I mean, again, the dream is Beckham, and Romeo Beckham is sort of dabbling at the moment in a football career. Mm. He's too old for the old Etonian, sadly. We've missed out on a chance to get a Beckham into the school, at least from this
Brooklyn
generation.
Brooklyn in for catering?
Brooklyn could do, and photography. Brooklyn's the official photographer.
Of course, the official photographer and caterer.
As he has Brooklyn just had a son, or has he just got married, hasn't he?
Just got married, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Well, that's again to be...
But already looking for the Beckham's children's children to get into the Eton squad.
But then, you know, so obviously the school is you know, it's not going to lose its academic pedigree or its sort of its various other extracurricular armoury. It's... You know, that's been bedded in for hundreds of years, but I think that making it a sporting powerhouse that ideally boys would finish at Eton and then they would continue to live on the school grounds and play for the old Etonians, there'd be a fantastic sense of community.
I'm Alex Rodriguez,
and I'm Jason Kelly
from Bloomberg. This is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Well, what's the stadium situation going to be?
Well, currently...
they're just playing fields, isn't it?
Currently, it's playing fields, and they are lovely. Playing fields with names as diverse as Agar's Plough, Dutchman's Nine, and Mesopotamia. But really, I think you want to build...
so accessible, isn't it? To the everyman.
Yeah, obviously, you can play on mess spots for a bit. You can certainly train on mess spots, but I'd say that's encroaching a little bit into school territory, and you want to get a local stadium set up quite relatively cheaply, I would say.
How are you doing a relatively cheap stadium?
Well, the fully charged New Lawn Stadium, the home of Forest Green Rovers, which I've got a lot of respect for.
Dale Vince's
brainchild. I think it's as much flack as Forest Green might take. Fundamentally, they're very admirable, sort of well run, environmentally conscious modern football club, and that's everything that I'd like the old Etonians to be in our desperate sort of bid for good PR. So while obviously you'd love to think of a Tottenham Hotspur Stadium-esque spaceship just being plonked down somewhere on the Eatonwick Road, I think a more modest 10,000 capacity. You know what? How much that's a sort of £5 million project. I think
that's
what
fine.
Charge new lawn sort of took.
Normally you'd be able to get that from donations, surely.
Yeah.
You?
Normally we have to ask where are you getting the money from, but as it's old Etonians, I think
it's a given,
fine.
Really, isn't it? I mean, you're just reaching out to people.
I think so.
Send a couple of letters home to parents. You've got that £5 million.
We're looking
in no
for
time.
£5 million. No, it's not a ski trip. It's a stadium this time.
No, but I think there probably would be a ski trip as well. I think that'd be obviously sort of pretty much a weekly
pre-season
exercise.
Pre-season ski trip. We don't play any games.
We're going to Chamonix. okay, so you've got a nice little ecological stadium. I'm presuming quite a green stadium by the Is it still the Thames down there? Yeah. So just on the river, a little bit like Fulham, I guess, but like a more ecological Craven Cottage.
That's nice. Eton College. You could get boat.
Is it going to have a name? Because
you need a stadium
name,
yeah.
You know, for the certain ground, you could sell the naming rights, of course, or you could have
Eden Ravenscroft.
Eden Ravenscroft, that's terrific. That's one of the best tailors. Yeah, but it would probably be a sort of fight to the death between them and Welch and Jeffries, really. But I don't know about the name. The Silver Spoon, maybe?
The Silver Spoon.
I think that's a nice name for a ground.
Yeah, love it. That's a great name.
I think that has
the Silver Spoon.
That's great. Is there a motto for the...
They've got to come to the Spoon and get something. That's what you've got to remember. They've got to come to the Silver Spoon and get something. And we take.
That's the thing. And, you know, a lot of... you know, most football teams are worried about losing their best players to City. Swindon are worried about losing their best players to the City. So there's a real pressure on the
that
club.
That could be the motto. I mean, you're looking for a motto.
The motto is reject the law conversion. Do what I've spent 10 reject years doing and telling my dad that I'm happy doing what I'm doing. And that there is a post-match career in it. I mean, I don't...
Ban the ban, another option.
Ban. What's ban the ban?
Fox hunting. It's a fox hunting slogan. Pro fox hunting slogan, I believe.
So you play in a thing called the Blues, but you play in green, as you mentioned earlier. Yes. So what is the... Can you explain why you call it the Blues, but then the shirt's green? And will you be keeping a green shirt or will you be changing the colour?
It's a lovely sort of lime green. And there is... I'm embarrassed to say I was once given as a present a book about the creation of the colour Eton blue. The book was self-published by frankly ludicrous local historian at the school. I can't remember how it was devised. I think I'll probably end up taking a swing at 19th century again, but it's essentially it's a blue which is more green than blue, and I can't think what sort of current football teams play in a sort of similar colour.
Yeovil?
It's
no.
But that's a hard green. This is distinctive. That's the kit. That's as it stands. And I haven't thought to away kits really. I mean, you probably wouldn't have to. You wouldn't have to have an away.
No clashes.
Very few clashes.
Are you going to have a sponsor on the kit?
No, I don't think so, really. I mean, obviously, again, Coutts will be knocking on the door. But I think that...
Where are they not?
I've quite liked seeing the Nottingham Forest shirt without a sponsor.
Yeah,
you know, this season. And I certainly think that...
I think anonymous donors being the sort of blanket how we get the money for all the Tonys.
No, I really... You know,
it should just say anonymous on it.
just the Scilly Isles, just I mean, wouldn't you say that Wrexham are being fun? Like, isn't the documentary covering the costs of running Wrexham?
Well, no, I think basically the fact that the two owners have come in and said, look, we're going to build the profile of this club by making it worldwide, having this documentary, that has then brought in, you know, bigger sponsorship. So they're able to go to TikTok and go, right, this, you know, we're going to get more eyes on shirts. So, you know, sadly, I4 Williams Trailers, who then got a decent bit of sponsorship from the two owners end of two seasons ago. But yeah, you're right. The fact that the documentary has come in, the documentary has funded it to a point, but it's the fact that the documentary exists and more eyes are going to be, you know, everyone's talking about Wrexham now.
I think
now.
The funding from an interview I saw is all vodka. So
gin.
Ryan Reynolds gin. Is it gin?
Aviation gin.
Ryan Reynolds makes infinitely more money from the gin than he does from being the biggest movie star in the world.
Right.
So you basically...
That's crazy.
Yeah.
So I guess our equivalent is port.
Yeah.
You know, you're looking at Graham's port. In fact, that's the sponsor.
Graham's port.
I'll have a word to the cousins. but I don't think they probably want to be any part of this. I think investment is going to be sort of slow while people work out what kind of team this is. I haven't even really worked it out for myself yet. Do you think that the team has the potential to revolutionise the way Eton is seen in the public eye from everything I've told you so far?
Yeah.
What a question to put on you as my host.
Yeah, I do. No, I think it has the potential to do that. It depends. I mean, it does sort of still, to me, feel like a sort of team everyone's going to love to hate a little bit.
I think that, no, if I'll go against that. Just because I think, no. I think in football, things are earthy. And I think you will get, yeah, no. Like even Dulwich Hamlet gets taken the piss out of just because they serve craft beer and they're seen as hipsters.
What I associate with Eton, the fact that your method of recruitment, you can't buy the league. You're not going to buy the league.
Well, you are buying the league.
You're just encouraging children of rich people, successful footballers, to come in early, and then it's all training. Yeah. Right? Well, I suppose that is the Eton model in general.
It's elitism, though, but in a different way. Like elitism at Wrexham or Man City is we're just going to buy everything.
Spend loads of money.
I guess it's a little bit different. And then you're going, can you buy into us?
You're going to undeniably make Eton as a footballing powerhouse. But you're also going to create new generations of, you know, fantastically eccentric footballers, I would say. You know, I don't think the players that are described as the sort of posh footballers at the moment, you know, your Patrick Bamfords, they understandably shy away from those sorts of stereotypes. Whereas...
Oh, the post-match interviews would be sensational, weren't they?
Oh, and also post-match interviews would be incredible.
Some florid metaphors being thrown around.
It'd be pure poetry. It'd be Shakespearean.
But also as well, it'd be quite nice that if they get to Champions League, you just know that they'll be able to speak to the opposition in whatever language they're playing at.
Yeah, singing a theme tune in Latin, perfectly understanding.
Yeah, exactly. Even if you're drawn against Dynamo Pompeii, you're still speaking their language. Holiday.
Who's in goal? Caecilius.
I mean, have you got a mascot in mind and a logo, I suppose, a team crest? So you could have Spoon Boy.
Spoon Boy. A cane?
I don't think we want to be associating ourselves too directly with corporal punishment, really.
No, trying to get rid of that image.
No, because we're trying to get, you know, we're trying to get modern icons like Brooklyn Beckham and Hugo Lloris to send their sons there.
Can I ask what you'll be serving up as food at this new ecological stadium at the Silver Spoon on the banks of the River Thames? I think one dish is obvious.
Obviously it's Eton Mess for pudding. Although I've got a soft spot for chicken nuggets followed by strawberry angel delight, because that was the meal that I nominated to be my house choice for the school canteen in 2008. And it was so popular that we won a genuine prize for best house meal, which meant that I, as house catering rep of my boarding house, was the only person to bring in any silverware for the house that year. So even though nutritionally it's a complete disaster zone.
That should be pre-match meal for the players, I think.
Chicken nuggets and strawberry angel delight. Thank you very much.
Yep, okay, that's fine.
None of this spag bol at 9 a.m. that Wayne really complains about so often.
And are there any rules or regulations that you're bringing in for any of the players at all? Any discipline that you're quite keen that they adopt in order to, well, I guess, maintain, not, you know, you see Eton as being quite strict and kind of like straight down the line. Are you implementing any of that?
There was a strong emphasis on not bringing shame on the school. And we were not even allowed to wear our tailcoats into Windsor on Saturday afternoon. although it's hard to know whether that's even going to be matched up, because obviously if you are leaning into the sort of full stereotypes of the school in an attempt to secure some sort of international coverage and funding, and you're sending boys these young men to away games in their tailcoats, then I think you are running the risk that they're going to get up to no good. But I think, you know, I think a strong emphasis on decorum you've been to the school. That's the thing. Mm. You know, it's not like when a player joins a club and you know, has got a completely different discipline to everyone else. They've had 5 years being sort of prepared for this. I think the rules and regulations are going to take care of themselves.
Fair enough. There's a random scenario that's just cropped up, a sort of community chest, if you will.
The supercomputer gives you that just to see how you're dealing with it.
Just to see how you cope in certain situations.
As the owner.
And it's this. Your manager goes on a podcast and calls you a wet wanker, a prize weasel, and a total novice in the not being shit at everything stakes.
Which is awful, because he used to be your teacher.
And he was your teacher.
That's tough.
However, you are currently top of the league. So how do you get him to respect you without upsetting him too much?
Well... how do I get my teachers to respect me? That's not a sort of novel quest in my life. How do I get my teachers from Eton to respect me? although I was never referred to as a weasel, and in my eyes, there's something vaguely complimentary.
A prize weasel.
A prize weasel.
A wet wanker.
A wet wanker, that's slightly more familiar territory. I think
we all play just the tonic.
I think if the manager has said that about me, then that's going to be good press for the team. To be honest, I'm a man. I'm just a man with a vision, an extremely confused vision about how I can breathe new life into the alumni football team that I don't play for, of a school which I didn't even hugely enjoy going to, purely to avoid having to talk about how I would run Swindon Town on a podcast. I somehow thought that this would be the more straightforward option. I think if this plan has come to fruition and Swindon Town are playing... Swindon Town. If Swindon Town are playing away at the sort of at Mesopotamia, or the new 10,000 seater that I've had built Mesopotamia. If Swindon are away at the Spoon, then my confused loyalties are going to be called into question already. If an interview then breaks where the manager is, has called me a wet wanker, it's not going to sit well. But I think that...
Are there any other old teachers you've got?
You don't want to sack him. He's doing a good job for the team.
Could give him detention.
I mean, I would say the good thing about, you know, is it too lazy to say suspended from the next ski trip? You know? Sometimes you gotta hit these people where it really hurts.
Yeah, I think that's going to send a big message. That sends almost a bigger message than sacking him.
Yeah.
Just humiliating that everyone else is going there. And
this guy's already got a job. He's going to land on his feet. He doesn't need the managerial job.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
He's a teacher at Eton. He's absolutely fine.
No Verbier for you this year.
Yeah. That's where I think he goes, okay.
Hit him where it hurts.
You're not a wet wanker. I won't go on any more podcasts and say so. Fair enough. Well, we got to input the data here.
One second. Let me just go
into the supercomputer.
Yeah, it's already been inputted. I've just got to put a few. Actually.
Things have changed since the 1800s, and we've got access to a supercomputer that makes the following noise and analyzes to decide if you are a fit and proper person to take over this football club.
Wow.
What's the verdict?
Yes, you are.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Oh, wow.
Absolutely, you are.
Has anyone been declared by the supercomputer not to be?
Oh, pretty much everyone else. Yeah.
Wow.
This one just says all fine, and then underneath it, I think this is in quite a patronising way, it says, good luck to you, mate.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah, and so what's quite interesting about this is that in a lot of the records that we've done so far, the supercomputer's against it because many of the methods of getting the finances together are seen as immoral. But for some reason, the supercomputer hasn't noticed that with the anonymous donors for the Eton team.
Well, yeah, they're
just
anonymous.
Sort of found that it's...
they're anonymous.
Because it's anonymous, we don't really know where that definite oil money's coming from. So
but you keep saying definite oil money. As I say, I think it's above board. You know, I think a lot of it is just coming from the school's own finances, which, you know... sort of complex as they are, you know, it's fairly transparent, and a lot of it is about turning the school into a more sort of generally ethical proposition.
Yeah,
where boys are going to want to be more likely to play for the old Etonians than want to go into government.
I think that's the
waste
crucial
a lot more public money.
I think that is the crucial thing, is that you're taking them away from causing more havoc elsewhere.
You're stopping them from, you know, they're breaking legs. Not the economy. Is that okay?
I don't know that I love it.
Well, you can recover from a broken leg. Can you recover from a broken economy?
I don't know where the broken legs has come into it, to be honest.
Well, you know, it's just you're taking them, you know, from the square
they're
mile and you're putting
in
them
from
in
from the left to score a screamer rather than cutting benefits for some of the most vulnerable people in our society.
Oh, that's very nice. Julian Fellowes somewhere is doffing his hat.
Four stars.
I would love it if he listened. Julian, big fan.
Well, thank you, Ivo.
Ivo, thank you very much.
And good luck to you.
We can't wait to come to the Silver Spoon.
Yeah.
Is that a phrase?
You'll be very welcome. Yeah. The silverware will be polished for your arrival.
Ivo, thank you.
Yeah.
Twists and turns. Didn't realise he was going to go with Eton.
No, that was a bit of a shock. But in hindsight, not really that surprising. And no. I like the business model a lot.
It worked. The anonymous donors. I think the supercomputer has had a stinker, and probably
I think
when it all kicks off, like the supercomputer will be looking at going, I should have done some more digging here.
It feels like, yeah, because we were vague. Maybe we were vague on the data we put in.
Dirty money.
It's probably dirty money.
It's an absolute hotspot. It's an ecological stadium, but it's a hotspot for laundering.
It does feel like it's going to be washed.
Hot money.
It's going to be, but at least, you know, you're not buying the league. There's not really any big signings, unless you count Oxlade-Chamberlain's child as a big signing, which at 3 years old, I don't know that you can.
Also, I just had a look. Do you know how much Ryan Reynolds sold Aviation Gin for?
$800 million.
$600 million.
I've gone too high. That's the problem there, isn't it? If you're going to do that and guess and it's going to sound impressive, I need to go intentionally low because I've made you sound a mug there.
Thank you for listening. If you've enjoyed this, then yeah, look, thank you.
Yes, tell everyone you know.
Tell everyone you know, and you stay well.
Bye-bye.